Welcome to our latest episode of the Lebanese Physicians Podcast. And today we will be talking about access to the U.S. healthcare system. And we will be talking to the CEO and creator of the app Amaze, which tries to solve some of these problems. Our guest today is David Silverstein, who has worked on public projects related to healthcare over the past decade. David, welcome to the podcast.
Great to be here.
And you guys may ask me, like, why is David Silverstein on the Lebanese Physicians podcast? But that is because I was connected to him by some friends who are very interested in his app and by what he has done so far with the Amaze app and where it's going in the future. So, David, I just want to start first by, can you just tell me a bit of background about you? Like, how were you involved in looking at the U.S. healthcare system and what prompted you to be involved in this?
Sure. So going all the way back to 1999, I founded a global management consulting firm that really focused on the efficient operations of large organizations. And over the past 20 years, 10 to 20% of that has always been healthcare. So I've had my hands in healthcare through the payer and provider lens for a long time, working with large hospital systems, large insurance carriers, both in the U.S. and outside of the U.S. And then about 10 years ago, for unrelated personal reasons, I got very interested in the patient side of healthcare. So I think of the healthcare system as a triangle, payer, provider, patient. I usually paint it as an upside down triangle, right? Because I think the patient's at the bottom. And so I've had my hands in healthcare for a long time, but really started getting interested in, you know, access to the system about a decade ago.
All right. And so how do you feel? I mean, the healthcare systems around the world are actually, some people say, quote unquote, in shambles, but they're different in different countries. You talk to people, they say, look at the Canadian system, it's the best system ever. Or look at the French system, look at the NHS. But the U.S. healthcare system tends to be very complex and complicated. So I feel like, can you discuss with us, like, how people access the U.S. healthcare system and what it feels like to be on the patient side of the system, and how can you access the system?
Sure. Well, first of all, I personally believe that this idea that there are better healthcare systems in other parts of the world is kind of nonsense. I think everybody's got their own flavor of problems, right? And so it's a terrible situation where we're always focused on finding the cleanest dirty shirt, right? Because they're all dirty. They're all lousy systems. In Canada, in particular, all the people who've ever worked for me and my other company, that when they need medical care, they come to the United States, right? Canadians are buying private insurance these days to supplement their so-called free coverage in Canada. And so Canadians would tell you it's a lousy system. It's easy for us as Americans to look elsewhere and say, oh, look at what they've got. But I can guarantee most Americans that they'd be very unhappy in other places too. To me, we have an opportunity to have the best system in the world here in the US, right? We have the best medical training in the world. We have the best technology. We have the best R&D, but we have an incredibly broken economic system of healthcare. And I think that's what it really comes down to, is we need to fix the economic model.
Yeah, and what you're saying is basically, it's just very, there's a lot of bureaucracy. It's very separated. Insurance works on its own. The patients work on their own. The pharmaceutical companies work on their own. And there's no, like, collaboration between them. So at this point, like, do you know some data on, like, let's say across the US or in different states, what's the average wait, let's say, for a patient to see a specialist?
Yeah. So I don't know what the specific number is, and it varies a lot by market. What I do know is it's been moving up. Right. And it's been taking longer and longer to get in to see specialists for multiple reasons. And I think a lot of the reasons aren't actually really well understood. There was some great research put out just in 2023 on one of the biggest problems being the vertical integration of health systems. Right. So physician practices buying physician practices, hospital systems buying physician practices. And in the last decade, and this is data, we've gone from about 2/3 of all visits to a doctor being primary care and 1/3 being specialists to 2/3 being specialists, 1/3 being primary care. And what the research says the reason for that is an excessive number of referrals due to a broken economic system. So the Affordable Care Act really encouraged consolidation of medical businesses under the guise of economies of scale, right? And so somehow that's going to drive down costs. But what it has turned into in practice is I go see my family doctor and I complain to them of some gastrointestinal issues. Well, 15 years ago, they would ask me questions about my diet and my stress, and they might prescribe an acid reducer and let's see if that helps. Today, it's almost immediately a referral to the gastroenterologist in their practice group. And so accountable care organizations are leading to an incredible number of referrals for relatively routine things to specialists. And so what that's doing is that's taking up a lot of specialist time. And quite honestly, the specialists I know, the good ones, they don't need more patients, right? They would rather dedicate their time to people who really need them, right? So that we don't have these long wait times. So these long wait times, people are waiting 3, 4, 5 months to get an appointment with a specialist, and it's killing people. It's literally killing people because they're not discovering underlying cancers as quickly and other, you know, complex medical conditions because people are waiting so long to see specialists these days.
Yeah. So basically what you're saying is that one of the reasons may be the over-referral to specialists. For example, yesterday I had a patient with like acute cough of 2 weeks duration after a virus come to me as a new patient when my first new visit like 2 months down the road. So it's like you take instead of seeing, and the other part of it I think is maybe broken is when you get somebody who's sick enough, let's say a lung mass that needs to be seen or whatever, it takes them 2 months to get in when they should be getting in the next day to see you. So it's more like a lot of referrals, but then there's no appropriate way of saying which patients need to be seen first and which patients need to be seen afterwards.
No, you're that's absolutely right. And so what those patients wind up doing is their only option to get to the specialist is to go to the emergency room, right? Because the specialist round in the hospital, and they will see you the next day if you've been admitted to the hospital. But that, and so what's not happening is the primary care providers aren't really being allowed to be what I would call a triage system, right? So they can't call you up. I mean, they can, I'm sure you would take their call, but it's not routine for a primary care physician to call you and say, hey, I'd really like you to see my patient tomorrow, right? Because it's really important. So that patient's only option is to go to the emergency room. So it's a very economically inefficient system of them going to the emergency room, right? And it's using up the resources in a very ineffective way because there's not this kind of cohesive system for triaging that patient and getting it. And the other thing is you almost cannot direct admit people anymore, right? So that primary care doctor can't really direct admit somebody to the hospital. So you as the pulmonologist can now go in and treat their condition. They have to be run through the emergency room, which has become the de facto admission point for hospitals if something is not scheduled. And so we've created that. So we've got this real misallocation of resources. We're using our resources in very inefficient ways.
Right. So in your opinion, it's not a lack of resources, just using the current resources that we have inefficiently. And I guess that's what prompted you to start Amaze, right?
Yeah. So Amaze is really the culmination of many years of efforts to change the rules on price transparency. And that really drew me a lot into the, you know, the economics of healthcare. But yes, I really believe that we don't have a shortage of medical and mental health providers in this country. We have a gross, you know, misallocation and overuse of them. So take mental health as an example. You've got people who have been seeing the same therapist every 2 weeks for years, right? And they're not actually making any progress toward solving their problem. I'd love to write a book on the American mental health system. I would title it "See You Again Next Tuesday," right? It's become a recurring revenue model because they're, and it's not that doctors and mental health professionals don't want to do the right things. They do. At an individual level, everybody I meet wants to do the right things, but there's a gross misalignment with the financial incentives that make it very hard to always do the right thing.
Yeah. And so basically, before we go, we're going to go into Amaze, but you advised two governors and a president. Can you tell us what you advised them on related to healthcare and how that prompted you to start Amaze, I guess?
Yeah. So back in 2016 and 2017, I was working with then governor, now Senator Hickenlooper's office on the first really serious efforts to force hospitals and insurance companies to publish the prices they've negotiated, right? We all know about, chargemaster pricing and a lot of the nonsensical pricing that people see in healthcare. But the reality is, when you look at it through the lens of economics, what is the real price? It's the price that two parties have negotiated between each other and have agreed they would accept as payment. So then helped to run some legislation here in Colorado in 2018 that did not pass. But that legislation got a lot of national attention. And in late 2018, I got a call from the Trump White House asking me if I would come and help them turn the legislation in Colorado into an executive order for President Trump. And that became an executive order that he signed in June of 2019, which is essentially that what is now the transparency and coverage rules that require the insurance companies to publish the prices that they've negotiated with every medical provider in the country. That's the actual price. That's what patients know is the allowed amount. That's the amount their insurance company has actually agreed to pay you as a doctor or to pay to GW Hospital. And that's the only way we really start to change the economics of healthcare. If we don't know the price we're paying for things, how can we make smart decisions? So we've been trying to drive Americans to consumer-driven healthcare for over 20 years. And we're saying we want you to be responsible consumers, and yet we're not going to tell you the price that's being paid for it, right? I mean, you can't. So we tried to do it with high deductible plans by giving patients financial responsibility. But how can you ask patients to really be financially responsible when they don't know the total amount of money that is being paid, not just their out-of-pocket money, because that's a fictitious number too. What is the total amount of money being received by the doctor from patient and insurance company combined? That's what we need to know.
Right. And so let's, how did all of this lead you to
To
start
Amaze.
Amaze? Right.
So the first incarnation of Amaze, when we started building it 2017, 18, was it was going to be all about educating people on how to become good healthcare consumers, right? An education product. And I'm not talking about understanding co-pays versus deductibles, but I'm talking about understanding things like, when I go to the hospital, why do I get four bills, right? What is the relationship between a surgeon and a surgery center or a hospital, right? If we're going to be good consumers, we need to understand those things, right? We grow up learning how to be consumers of other things. Maybe you went with your father to buy a used car when you were a kid, and you heard him asking about price negotiations or a new car, dealer rebates and manufacturer incentives and kickbacks and all of this. And you learn how the system works. Maybe you heard your mother negotiating with the heating and air conditioning repairman or the electrician, right? And we learn how to be consumers when we're growing up. Nobody taught us how to be healthcare consumers. So the first incarnation of Amaze was focused on going into companies and educating their employees on how to be better consumers. And then we started getting questions from companies asking, okay, well, after you teach our people these things, what support can you give them, right? And so we started building a service component to Amaze, which today would be characterized as patient navigation and care coordination. And from there, we decided we needed to partner with some kind of virtual medical service. So we went and looked at the big ones, the Teladocs and MDLIVE, and we thought everything that we saw out there was kind of garbage. It was transactional in nature. And so I got with a physician friend of mine and said, you know what? I think we need to build our own medical practice. And today that has turned into Amaze being really 90% medical in nature.
So, but basically, it started off as more education for consumers on access to healthcare pricing, all this stuff, and now it's turning more into a virtual office
That's
to
right.
help
And
patients out.
so we started with this concept of what we call a patient advocate. A lot of hospitals have advocates, there are virtual services. And we realized to really be effective, your advocate needs to be a medical provider themselves. So at Amaze, it's all one tightly integrated team of medical and non-medical professionals who are all dedicated employees. They all work for us, right? We don't contract anybody. We don't pay anybody by the call or by the visit. They all work together. So your advocate is your medical team. And That is just, it's a much, much more effective and efficient model.
Yeah, so let's give an example. So basically, a Maze goes and approaches one of the employers and says, all right, I'm going to take care of your employees and try to save you money so your health insurance costs will go down for your employees. So the employer says, all right, I'm going to buy into this app, right?
That's right. And we do try to say all the time, you know, an app is just a tool. It's just a communication tool. Right. I mean, we are a national medical practice, right? Our medical providers are licensed in all 50 states. We have patients in all 50 states. I mean, Maze is a national medical practice. Now, we have a very cool tech. We use a lot of technology to make communication very easy and to make our services extremely efficient. But we try not to think of Maze as an app. We try, you know, Maze is, we call Maze your trusted medical partner for the rest of your life.
Right. So basically, let's say I'm an employee of company X and I decide not X the Twitter.
Right.
And I decide, you know, I want to see, I have a cough right now and, or I have a chest pain or whatever. I'm worried about my heart. I want to see a primary care physician or cardiologist to do a calcium score or whatever. So I contact Amaze, right? Like I go on the app and say, this is what I want. So what happens from there once I say that?
Sure. So the first thing is when you open up your Amaze app, there's on the first screen, you see there's only two buttons. One says call us, one says send us a message. There is, you don't have to figure out for yourself, well, do I need to talk to a cardiologist or a dermatologist or a nurse practitioner or a therapist? You just tap the button that says call us and you are connected to a medical provider, somebody who can diagnose, treat, prescribe, order, refer within 3 to 4 seconds, right? There's no triage process. There's no intake form. There's nothing in between you and being connected directly to a medical provider, because who is better to help you figure out very quickly what's going on other than, now when I say medical provider, we're talking physician, physician assistant, or nurse practitioner. So we're not a nurse line, right? I love nurses. My wife is a nurse, but everybody in Amaze can diagnose, treat, prescribe, right? And so you're having an issue that's going on, right? We're still virtual. So, you know, there was a patient not that long ago who called us, 65-year-old man. He'd actually gone in to see his doctor on Monday and was sent for a chest x-ray. This was down in Houston, and it was just as a hurricane was rolling in. Well, guess what? All the medical offices closed that day. And nobody called him about his chest x-ray, right? And so he wound up calling Amaze that night. Well, there are things, I think we're not doing video here, but I'm holding up a Bluetooth stethoscope. So these things do exist now, but this patient didn't happen to have one yet. And so we can't listen to his heart. We can't listen to his chest, right? You know, is there pneumonia going on, congestive heart failure? But even there, you know, good medical providers who are really skilled in the virtual environment, my nurse practitioner actually had him walk up and down the stairs, right? And wanted to monitor his breathing, how fast it came down, all that, right? And she figured out he was going into congestive heart failure. Meanwhile, he's not heard from his doctor. Nobody's called about the x-ray, right? So we got him to the hospital, right? During a hurricane. 3 days later, we got a call from his doctor saying, thank you, I think you saved my patient's life. And so the access is really, really important, even though there are still, right, we still needed to send him to the hospital in this case. But what was this patient going to do? He was probably going to let his conditions fester because the system has become so inaccessible, right? So could he get an appointment? He couldn't get a call back from his doctor. The doctor's office had closed. Nobody's telling him what the x-ray had come back and said. Amaze has created a level of access that's just unprecedented because you literally tap a button and you're talking to a medical provider and a very skilled one at that. Americans need that kind of access. They don't abuse it. They don't take advantage of it. It's not like an all-you-can-eat buffet where people are just calling us all day long because they don't need to. They come to respect that kind of access and use it very, very responsibly, but it saves lives because we can get people the help they need and get it for them fast.
Yeah, so basically, it's sort of a primary medical provider. Basically, what you're doing is you're saying, all right, going to empower primary care physicians to make most of the decisions. And then if there's something that needs further assessment or something that's urgent, then you direct patients to specialists or to emergency departments.
That's right. So so our philosophy is our first goal is to keep you out of the system. And we use the word system sometimes in a little bit of a derogatory kind of way, right? We don't think very highly of some parts of the system. But our first goal is to keep, so if we can diagnose and treat you, we do that, right? So we're not just here to direct you to your local medic. If we can responsibly treat you virtually, we will do that. We will even go so far as doing things like, do we need to send somebody to the emergency room for an x-ray, or can we send them to an independent imaging center and get an x-ray for $40, right? And very often we'll get that done faster. A lot of imaging centers, people don't know this, x-rays take a millionth of a second, right? Right. It's like that. And so a lot of imaging centers actually do x-rays on a walk-in basis if right. You have an order, right? So an MRI that takes longer, right? So you have to schedule that, but you can get x-rays very, very quickly. So why send somebody to the emergency room when we can actually get an x-ray on them in an hour by sending them directly to an. So we do, because these are our patients, right? Amaze is not just a transactional service. We're here to take care of you throughout your entire journey and your entire life. We do a lot of things that other virtual medical services wouldn't do. But yes, when you do need to be referred somewhere, then we'll provide that referral. We'll help you identify that medical provider, and we're your advocate. So if we think you need to be seen tomorrow and you can't wait for 2 months for an appointment, we will call that medical office and we will sort of hound them physician to physician until somebody says, yes, we'll make room and we will see them tomorrow. So we're also the patient's advocate. We're not just their virtual medical provider, but we're their advocate to make sure they get the care that they need.
Got it. And so you're aligned with certain offices in certain states, potentially. You may not be, but you could be aligned, or some people know you more now that you can have access to them easier.
Yeah. So you said a key word, get to know. So our independence is very, very important. So we're very independent of local medical providers and insurance, but we develop relationships. So for example, we tell patients all the time, you know, it's not about convenience, right? We've developed relationships. We know if we're having trouble getting your blood pressure under control because you likely have some genetic predisposition to not responding to common blood pressure meds, we know in various markets, this is the cardiologist that we really want to work with. They're good at figuring that out. And they don't mind that once we figure out the right medication for you, we're going to resume your care, right? So we send you into the system, find the answers that you need, and then we want to get you back out of the system because the system is very bureaucratic and expensive, right? And so we develop those relationships, but we don't generally do that with a network. We do that with physicians pretty much on an individual basis. We know who our go-to orthopedic surgeons are in certain markets that do very, very high quality work that are perhaps affiliated with an independent surgery center if it's a commodity surgery like an ACL repair. So yes, we do work very closely with people's local doctors, but we don't affiliate with specific systems.
And basically, so this is for more patients when they need something on the go or on the spot, but do you also do, and this second question is, do you also do preventative care? Like somebody wants to check their cholesterol levels, do a colonoscopy for screening or a mammogram?
Yeah, so we refer that to that as virtual primary care. So when somebody calls us and says, I learned at work that Amaze can become my primary care provider, the first thing we do is what we call a fit for virtual primary care evaluation, right? Right. You know, we're talking about somebody that's 60 years old with COPD and other, you know, complicated issues. We're going to tell them, you know, you need a local doctor who can put that stethoscope on you, right, and listen to you. But often we work with those local doctors. So maybe the patient continues to see their doctor once a year, but Amaze takes care of most other things for them in between. But first we do that fit for virtual primary care evaluation. Then we will ask people to, you can go on Amazon today and for $29, you can buy very high quality Bluetooth blood pressure cuffs, right? So we'll make sure that people have the things that are needed for us to provide them with that virtual care responsibly. And yes, we'll order their lab work. And so we do all of that for our patients. Again, our job is to be their trusted medical partner for the rest of their life. So if it can be done in a responsible way virtually, there's virtually nothing we don't do.
And basically the lab work, are you aligned with a certain lab, or is it also the same thing where you send them to one of the lab centers around?
Yeah. So if somebody has insurance, then, you know, we connect to all of the major insurance carriers digitally. So we have all of the information in our system. We know what insurance plan somebody has. So 99% of lab work today is either Quest or LabCorp. If somebody is a cash paying patient, we use a third party service that is much less expensive, but the lab actually goes to Quest and LabCorp. But our philosophy is that we help every individual navigate the system based on the resources available to them. So if they're on a high deductible plan and it's December and their plan resets on January, we might say to that patient, you know what, you're probably just better off paying cash here because you're not going to hit your deductible. Or if you want to run it through your insurance, then we'll send in the order this way. So, you know, we are here to be their partner in making all of those decisions.
Right. And you've got an electronic medical record system too, right? That you, so basically if you access the app, then you can find out the labs of the patient, what they've done, what the appointments.
Yeah. So we connect all of the major systems and all the major insurance carriers. We connect to the labs. We connect all of the pharmacies, right? So all prescriptions are done digitally. Okay. These days. So yes, Amaze is a very technology driven company because we're operating in the virtual world, but we're just not using the virtual world to make things cheaper and more convenient. Our focus is really on taking the quality of medical and mental health care to new heights by optimizing things in the virtual environment.
Which brings me to my next question. So once you refer a patient to a specialist, right? Do the specialists have access to the app? And if not, how do they access the medical records from Amaze?
We can give any physician access to our system. That's easy. There's interoperability standards between all the major EHR these days. But the unfortunate real truth is, and as a physician, you probably know this, they still want us to fax over the referral and right. Our notes. And that's just the archaic world that we still live in. So believe it or not, a lot of it is still done by fax. Yeah. But yes, I mean, we have the ability to do all of that digitally, but the number of times we get asked to fax things over is pretty, it's almost comical.
Yeah, yeah. And which states are you operating in now? I know you're in Colorado, so that's probably one of the first states that you started in, but I know that you've spread to quite a bit of states since that time.
Yeah, so we have patients in all 51 states with Washington, D.C., right?
D.C. is not a state.
Right. But you know, it's funny. When we hire physicians, they were looking for a physician license in all 50 states. They love to come back and say, oh, I'm licensed in 51 or 52 or 53, because they're including Washington, D.C., Puerto Rico, even these days, Guam keeps coming up. But yes. So yes, we have patients in all 50 states. Our medical team is licensed in all 50 states. The way we do things, because everybody is a full-time employee at Amaze, most of our physicians are licensed in all 50 states, and then our physician assistants and nurse practitioners are each licensed in 15 to 20 states each.
Excellent. And have you looked at outcomes, let's say, because you're trying to decrease healthcare costs or insurance costs on the employers? So have you looked at outcomes related to healthcare costs, ER visits, hospital admissions, stuff like that?
Yeah. So great question. So we're seeing data in two different ways. Amaze is a young company, so we've only gone through the cycle a couple of times. What the insurance agents and clients are seeing is their premium renewals in 2023. So at the end of 20 came in at an average of between 0 and 3% for the companies that were with Amaze. And the insurance agents tell us their companies that were not with Amaze yet, they were averaging 6 to 10% renewals. Then what we're seeing is among those who are engaged. So we'll get a lot of employees. They're young, they're healthy. They don't pay any attention to anything their company tells them until they get sick, right? So they're not particularly engaged. For those who are engaged with Amaze, so we are their virtual primary care provider. We're taking care of their kids when they get sick. Among our engaged folks, we're seeing about a 50% reduction in ER visits. Interestingly, about a 70% reduction in urgent care visits. Urgent care is usually thought of as good because people think, well, if you went to urgent care, then you didn't go to the ER. But when you think about what people go to urgent cares for, most of that is unnecessary also. We're seeing about a 1/3 reduction in specialist visits. So the way we reduce specialist visits is in two ways. One is there's often things that just can be taken care of virtually. So somebody got a dermatology issue and they were going to go see a dermatologist and we take a look at it and we know exactly what it is. They didn't need to go to the dermatologist. But the other way is we work with the specialist. So for example, with an orthopedist, we know we're sending somebody to an orthopedist for a torn ACL and we're certain it's a torn ACL. We will actually order an MRI before they go to the orthopedist. That way we're cutting out the first visit because the first visit was unnecessary. The only thing that was going to happen in the first visit was ordering an MRI, right? And so we'll work with the specialist. Sometimes we'll, you know, as a pulmonologist, we might call you and say, hey, here are the tests that we think you're going to order before you see our patient. Is there anything else that you would do? And you say, no, that would be great if you can get that done. So that way, when you're seeing the patient for the first time, you might already have several of the tests that you know, because you know, as a doctor, when you look at that patient's record, you know, I ask doctors this all the time, you know, with 90% probability, just based on their reported symptoms, their chief complaint, you know how your visit's going to go with them, right? But often the way our system's designed, you're not actually looking at any of that until 5 minutes before the appointment, if it's a first time appointment, right? And so we sort of force the specialist's hand and say, we'd really like you to engage and know why we're sending you this patient so we can agree on anything that perhaps should be done before they see you. And that reduces the overall number of visits very often to the specialists in the first place. And then we also will, once a problem has been identified, if there's a course of treatment, sometimes it's very responsible for us to take over again and see that treatment through, right? Maybe they come back to see you once, but they don't come back to see you three times. And so we're trying to work together. Most specialists do not feel like we're taking money out of their pocket or patients away from them because they're so busy that if they can allocate their time to people who really need them, they actually love what we're doing. I'm sure every once in a while, somebody says to themselves, oh boy, now I don't get that follow-up visit, but we don't actually, in practice, we don't see that. In practice, yeah. We have found specialists really appreciate what we're doing.
And what do you think? I mean, there's a lot of virtual healthcare out there. How do you compare to some of the versions like Teladoc and other virtual healthcare providers that have been there for a while at this point?
Yeah, so I think most of them started out with very good intentions and they wanted to see change, but they've become extremely transactional in nature. I mean, Teladoc pays doctors $42 a call, right? I mean, it's become very, very transactional. One Medical, which was acquired by Amazon recently, I think they had a grand vision, you know, 5 and 6 years ago, but now it's become retail medicine. And this may sound very cynical, but a lot of the goal of retail medicine coming out of Amazon, Walmart, Kroger, is to drive people into their stores, right? So that they'll get their medications there, so that they'll pick up their groceries while they're there. It's not about building a trusted lifetime relationship. It's just that, so a lot of virtual medicine is just moving transactional medicine online. We're actually trying to use the virtual environment to create whole new models of medicine and mental health.
Right. So basically working with employers to try to decrease healthcare costs and maybe even decrease mental health burden on the employees.
Oh, and in a big way. I had the CEO of a company say to me a few months ago, he said, Dave, I don't understand. Our mental health spending on a per employee basis has dropped from $35 per employee per month to $4 per employee per month. You know, and I said, well, what don't you understand? He said, well, did all of those visits go to Amaze? And I laughed and I said, no. He said, well, then how did you do that? I said, well, all of those patients came to amaze. I said, we found employees who were seeing the same therapist month after month after month for years with no progress on their actual underlying problems, right? Our only incentive is to actually help people solve problems, because then your employees tell you how happy they are with amaze and you want to keep paying amaze, right? Our goal is to actually drive the number of visits down, not drive it up, right? That's what our fee-for-service healthcare system has become about. It's become about, you know, more visits, more. It's not, there's no actual rewards for truly solving problems.
Right, but it's sort of, I mean, you try to squeeze the system as much as you can, but I think the system is, at the end of the day, if it keeps going the same way it's going, it would crash. It's not going to keep going.
Right. Now, look, we broke medicine in the United States in the 1970s after Medicare became law in 1965. All well-intentioned, but our billing and coding system has turned it into an unbelievably transactional system. And everybody's trying to figure out how to maximize the value of each transaction and the number of transactions, right? Right. I mean, right. And we did that to ourselves by creating through our billing and coding system.
Right. Yeah, I'm going to say just to, as an outside thing, I've talked to one of the podcasts actually I did once with a company called Mind Easy. You probably should look it up. It's a company that it's a startup in Toronto. And actually they're working on with employers in Canada on assessing their patients for mental health issues using AI and trying to like decrease anxiety and stuff like that to decrease mental health costs and burdens on the employers.
Right. But take an American company like Talkspace. You know, when I talk to therapists at Talkspace, they say, well, Talkspace is good. They get me my first appointment with the patient, right? And then it's my job to do a good job so that that patient wants to have a follow-up appointment with me, right? So every single visit with a therapist includes an element of that therapist having to sell you on coming back for another visit, right? Because there's no reward for, oh, we had a breakthrough today and we solved your problem, right? Because then there's no subsequent visit. So Amaze is a pure subscription service. We don't make any more or any less money by providing you with more or less care. The only way we make money is you are a very happy patient who knows Amaze is always here for you. And either you as a patient or your employer wants to keep paying Amaze every month for the rest of your life because you trust us, right? And so that's why we will never let our price get too high. Even after we've solved your problems, you want to always know Amaze is there for you. Always. You get a sinus infection. Your kid gets a strep throat. They twist their ankle. You're trying to figure out how to treat your child's acne problem or their anxiety or your college kid. You want to know when they have the worst hangover of their life and they think they're dying and they're afraid to call mom or dad. You want to know that they have somebody in their life that they can call and they can be talking to a doctor in 3 or 4 seconds. You also want somebody who's there to guide when you've been diagnosed with cancer, right? To be your partner and to guide you, through your journey, right? And so, for Amaze, we're just building something different, which is what we call a trusted, independent health and medical partner for the rest of your life.
Right, and so it sounds like a great idea, and so people may be listening to this and saying, you know what, you want to try to chip in and help out with this company and invest in this company. Is it on the public stock exchange?
It is not, and it would sound arrogant of me to say that we want to become a public company, but quite honestly, I would like I think we're democratizing healthcare, right? So eventually Amaze should be that company that, when your grandchild's born and you want to give them 10 shares of stock that they're going to have for the rest of their life, you should want that to be Amaze, like the old AT&T from the 1950s and the 1960s. That is our vision for Amaze, is that it's ultimately owned by every American.
Excellent. Excellent. Yeah, David, that was a great, great podcast, I think. And we had a good discussion about the complexity of the American healthcare system and about some of the solutions to access to care that I'm sure a lot of patients and doctors are aligned with and know about. So hopefully this Amaze will be one of the good solutions for some of what's happening in the healthcare system. And I think I can compare it to, if you want to compare it to, I think like Mark Cuban has cost plus drugs, let's say. He's trying to solve the problem of access to medications due to cost. And maybe, hopefully, you would be doing the same by solving the problem of access to physicians, not necessarily medications in this case.
That's right. You know, access and cost, and they go hand in hand.
Right.
I mean, the system's becoming cost prohibitive for people, which is a huge access problem.
Right. All right. Thank you, David.
All right. Thanks for having me.